We're sat around a fire, at least on one side of a fire. It's cold for some of us in flip-flops and shorts. That's not me for a change. Gentlemen, please introduce yourselves.
Great. This is Tom Fishburne, and I'm a cartoonist. I started a company called Marketoonist.
John Kieran, chief juicer of Brain Juicer, with very cold knees, now warming themselves by the fire. The knees are starting to feel like marshmallows. Very nice.
It can't be do lectures without some fire cropping up somewhere, magically keeping us warm. Thanks very much, guys. Please, tell me what you've got so far out of the last couple of days, and just if you can summarise what you talked about yourself.
Absolutely. I think one of the most amazing things of do lectures, a couple of things. One, that you have to go to a physical place that's quite a journey to get to. So you leave your old self behind, and then you get here without any pretense, and you meet people from all different walks of life, and you have this amazing melding of ideas, which has been incredible.
What was door-to-door for you?
So door-to-door to me was San Francisco to Cardigan Bay, Wales. And I don't know how many hours that took.
You probably slept somewhere along the way.
Bits and pieces here and there. I couldn't tell when I was dreaming and when I was traveling.
You didn't come by boat, I think.
I didn't. That might have been one stage of the journey, but I don't remember that part.
Well, as a rugged indoorsman, this is just mad. You know, there's a big teepee where we have the talks. Some tents. It's glamping. It's all very, very, and the food is fabulous and all that, and the company is even better. What the listeners won't realize now is that there are three people with tears running down their eyes from the smoke coming out of the fire. This is real, people out there. This is camping, okay?
So you're painting a picture now with words. I want you to be drawing a picture. I expect to see a sketch of this later on with tears from the, not only the joy we're experiencing right now, but the environment.
Yes.
But do you know, it really struck me today that, two or maybe three of the speakers actually were moved to tears.
Yes.
Which had quite an impact actually on the audience.
I was nearly crying.
Radical midwife. What's her name? But when she just burst into tears about what she
does.
Caroline. And it was so sudden. And
before she even started.
But very moving.
Yes.
And actually I think in a way, I don't think I've been to a conference where it's had that level of emotion. And you know, I was talking about emotion and how you need that in order to remember things and to have an impact.
And how can you not believe someone who is that passionate they're brought to tears?
It was though. Also, you know, the solar panel farm, you know, the solar,
yeah,
you could tell it was almost the first time that he had a chance to reflect. I mean, obviously he'd thought about his presentation, but
yeah,
actually standing in front of the audience and reflecting on what he'd just done, you could, it was like,
it's a moment of catharsis. It's not like a typical presentation where you're running through a boilerplate slideshow. You're actually talking about something real. And there was one speaker that said he never gets nervous, but he did today, because he was talking about something that really mattered, which is amazing. I felt that coming under this. I felt like this was a totally different level of anything I'd ever talked about before, because it was so personal.
I think a good word here is anomaly, if I can say it. You're an anomaly, Tom.
Well, thank you.
Because I know people who art is their passion, but not necessarily what they do for a living.
Yeah.
Yet you've managed to take cartoonism, new word for you, just you can take that back to America, and take it to a new level as such.
Yeah, it's funny. I never would have expected I would have gone down this career path whatsoever. Except if you talked to me when I was age 11, I would say that without any sort of fear or trepidation that I wanted to be a cartoonist when I grew up. But I gave that completely away, and packed that inside and started focusing on a professional life and becoming a marketer. And I remember one of my business school professors counseled us not to confuse building a resume with building a life. But I spent a lot of my time focused more on my resume than on my life. And it's becoming a cartoonist and doing it now full-time for 11 months has been the most gratifying thing I've ever done professionally, for certain. And it's amazing to do what you love for a living.
Well, I really like the idea that came up at the end of yesterday. You know, what is it you have to give up and mourn almost? But,
right,
you know, what do you have to give up in order to really live, to yes. really find your... And I mean, your story really struck a chord, I think, you know, through the room when you were, well, you know, I had this great job and I was offered a promotion and all this sort of stuff. And it was like, nope.
Yeah.
Got to do this yeah. cartoon thing. Yeah. I've got to do it.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it's great.
Someone warned me before I made the jump that there will be a final test. And I was like, there's not going to be a final test. And so there will be a final test. There's always a final test before you go on any journey or take a big adventure or big make a big leap. Something will come to test your resolve. It always happens. And it did for me.
Oh, I'm getting shivers. Not because of the cold either. Because it's really, I'm fascinated to hear about this. The embracing of fear, for one thing. I mean, there's a lot of... what we would normally call negative emotions being brought up at this conference and then just batted away.
Yeah, no, I mean, an emotion is what you need. Neutrality is the curse of everything. That's what needs to be avoided. Neutral, no reaction, which actually is the safety. I mean, it was another theme, I think, that's gone through the whole conference. Safety, which is such a human kind of desire to seek. I mean, like the midwifery. So the positive side of it is that the best place for, you know, for a woman to give birth is in a safe place, because that's what mammals do. However, when you're doing something like the you have to leave the harbour. You have to kind of get out on the sea. You have to give it a go. You know, suffer and you know, try stuff and adapt and survive. And that's a nice theme, I think, that's shot through the conference.
I like the idea of embracing failure because of what you can learn from that independent adventure. This giving failure a hug is what I see in my head. You can sketch that later if you want. Yeah. I think that'll work quite well. That's probably been done. And there's so much, you know, the embracing of ideas here, and I am actually running out of space in my head for what's coming in. I'm glad the days are broken up as they are, but you're getting towards the end of the day, and I'm sure that ideas are pushing out valuable information that I'm going to need for later.
It is. It's like, please, sir, can I go home? My brain's full now.
but it's funny that it's a different type of full than sometimes when you're in a business environment. At some types of conferences, by the end of the day, you're exhausted and bored. But I get to the end of the day, I'm exhausted but excited.
Yeah.
And that's a totally different thinking, because like, you're filling up your brain with good stuff that may take some time to jumble around, but interesting things will come out of it.
But Tom's just done a kind of doodling workshop, and on a huge piece of long brown paper, everyone was, you know, with our terrible talent. Talent is the wrong word, but, you know, drawing. And it's interesting what comes out, the simplified, the bits that, you know, have risen to the top. Because, again, it's not actually that much content that you remember.
Yes.
It is the things that touch you, you know, like the midwife and, and people's stories.
And it's an experience, I think, here where you're not, it's not a passive experience. Everybody here is also a speaker, is also a doer, everybody here. And that's what makes it so amazing, because the ideas aren't just, it really is 1 + 1 = 3. The discussions after the talks are greater than the sum of the collective parts, because everybody brings themselves to the conference and injects themselves into it and makes everything stronger as a
result.
It's
almost like, you know, the feral choir, Phil, was it last night? The whole conference actually has something of the person at the front presenting is a bit like a conductor, like Phil was doing with the feral choir, of a bigger thing. Rather than being the presenter, which everyone else listens to, you feel that actually it's just to stimulate the synapses, and then the conversation can take on from there. And that's a different feeling. Yes. That's unusual.
I think it's one of the few times when the attendees, the speakers will leave as changed as the attendees.
So this inspiration that we're feeling right now, that we felt throughout the day, that we, like you say, we take into the evening, give us some homework. Give me something to take away that will ensure this feeling, this inspiration, doesn't fade away. What can I do?
So, as an attendee, to make sure it doesn't stay away.
Yeah.
I think the opportunity is to, you know, there are two things happening here. There's the collection of ideas and the firing of the synapses and coming up with your own ideas. But then there's the stage of the returning home and spreading it. And spreading ideas is a very different skill, but so important, because so many ideas, I think people go to brainstorm, they leave the ideas in the brainstorming room and they come back, and then the ideas never really graft. So I think that the homework is to find a way to take what you've learned here and make a point of touching people specifically, and make goals for yourself that something coming out of this place will not just remain an idea, but will turn into action.
A really good idea I saw, and I don't know whether this is going to happen here, but they say that unless you do something within a week of whatever the inspiration, you're kind of not going to. You know, it's just life. And so what they did is they got everyone to write on a postcard what they'd love to do. What was the, you know, what have you been inspired to do? And then you put your name and address on it. And basically, they post it to you 1 month later.
Yeah.
And that, I thought, was just a nice, actually, it gives you a second bite to go, okay, I didn't do it. Maybe I will, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think the other, I went to the first Do Lectures 3 years ago, and I still know quite well several of the people that I met here, because, you know, I first came here, I found myself in a tent with five complete strangers, knowing who snored and who didn't, but knowing them quite well. And there have been many, do reunions, and people come from all over the place, and the opportunities to have the relationships continue after you've met in this really unique, remarkable place.
It's easy for us now to bully each other online and say, did you do what you said you were going to do?
Yes.
Well, pressure is key. Next time I'll have to bring earplugs, not for me, for my fellow
I'm with you on that one. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. It's, again, the inspiration is contagious, and I'm going to hopefully spread that in a contagious manner when I get back. And thank you for your company.
Nice to chat.
Great, thanks.